So my last vacation, I went to Romania during the summer. It was a wonderful time. And Romania is dominated by the Carpathia Mountains, okay? It runs right through the middle of the country. And there's hills on either side, a little bit of flatness if you keep going towards the Black Sea. But mostly it's mountainy, hilly areas. And we were in the mountains, and we were having a nice time. And we decided to go on a wagon ride, okay? And whenever I hear about people, you know, wondering what Romanian is like, they always see the wagons and people on wagons. But anyway, there was a horse-drawn cart up in the mountains, and so we decided we're going to go and have a nice ride in the back of one of these carts. And so my father-in-law and Andrea and Ezra were in the front, and I was in the back holding Eden. And the road started out flat and very manageable, but it soon became twisty, it soon became turny, it soon became very steep, and the seat was just a single polished slab. And I mean, it was polished, okay? And so each turn, I would just jiggle, okay, like a piece of soap on a slippery surface. I would start to move whichever way we were going. And I realized, okay, just suddenly, I realized that I actually had a mission for this cart ride. It was not just to enjoy the view. It was to make sure that I didn't fall off the wagon with my daughter in tow, okay? And so as we shifted and as we turned, I would just grab different things trying to hold on, and I would try to push my foot against the side, and you know, maybe at one moment I'm trying to push down, but then we go up, and now I'm trying to push the other way, you know, so I don't come off. I was just needing to stay on the cart, but it turned out it was quite a lot of energy. You know, I was very active in staying on the wagon. What does the Bible say? So we're in the series Toxic Religion. Brief recap for you if you haven't been here for the whole series. Which you can find them all online, and I would encourage you to do that on your off time. But being toxic religion is something that happens within Christianity, okay? Within Christianity, and it comes through, and it seeps through, and it ruins the faith that has begun in Christ. And so our definition is that it's replacing God's stuff with our own stuff, replacing God's love and his salvation and his word and his righteousness with something of ourself. And that stuff then becomes what our religion really is. And what we actually end up worshiping at the end of that is just ourselves. It's no longer God. He comes off the throne of our life. But we still call ourselves Christians, okay? That's the toxic part, right? It's within the church. And so the first example that we looked at was the Pharisees, okay? And they had this exact problem. They had replaced God's word with their own traditions, their own ideas. And these ideas were not just to go along with the Bible. It eventually became their religion. So much so that when they murdered Jesus, they actually think they're doing God's will. And they're totally and utterly deceived. They're just worshiping their own thing. That's toxic, okay? Now, last week, that was the first week we looked at that. Last week, we saw that Satan's major strategy with you guys, with all people who go to church, who hear this amazing book, which is God's truth to us. That's amazing that God allows that to happen. His major strategy then is to come and to say, you can't just have God's word. You need some of your own stuff. You can't just have God's word. You know, you try to do this your own way. Try to do this with your traditions. You know, it's God and you. You and your stuff and your traditions. And so he uses this with Adam. The Satan comes to Adam and this is what he says. You want to be like God? Well, you can't unless you do it your way. Take the fruit. You know, and he comes to Jacob and Abraham and Isaac and to the patriarchs. Exact same thing. They have the promise of God and Satan just says, but wait a minute. This isn't going to happen unless you do it your way. And this runs through to the Israelites when they worship the calf. They're doing what their culture has told them to do. So they're going to have God's word and their culture. And it's going to eventually lead to this slippery slope where they stop believing in the God of the Bible because they've got their traditions, and the traditions have grown large and replaced what was once their hope and their life. Now, and today, this is going on today. It's going on in our society. And actually, there's a movement, I'm not sure if any of you guys are familiar with it, called deconstruction. So has anybody heard of deconstruction in this room? Yeah, deconstruction. This is a major movement in America, and it's going to go in reverse, I think. It's going to start in America, and then it's going to come here. But actually, in some sense, we've already kind of deconstructed, okay, in this society. And that is to say, the movement says, you know, whatever in the Bible is, you know, not true because it doesn't fit your perspective on truth, you know, just remove those things. You know, you find a personal faith that matches your morality. And so it's exactly that. It's toxic religion is what's going on there. So everybody can fall for it. It's really tricky. How can we guard against it? That's what we want to talk about today. And it's just like the wagon ride, actually. It's just like my wagon ride. You just have to stay put in the wagon. You have to follow Christ. But it turns out that following Christ, even though it's his work, you got to kind of keep with it. You know, you're going left, you're going right, you're moving around, you got to stay there. And it's an active faith. So here's our big idea. Freedom from toxic religion. How do we do it? Stay in the faith. Continue growing in Jesus and recognize and reject the things that are not from him, that they're in the church, or you hear them around. Realize that they're not from him or reject them. Okay, let's say it. Stay in the faith, continue growing in Jesus, and recognize and reject what isn't of him. This is what we need. We need to keep going in the truth that we have. And we need to be aware that there are lies out there and to see how that doesn't fit and to say, no, I won't have that. So let's start with continue and it will protect you. Continue in faith and it will protect you. So continuing in faith is actually a huge, huge message all across the Bible. And I'm just going to hit a few really quick. So John 15, I'm going to say, I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What's the important word there? Remain. You must remain in order for fruit to appear. And if fruit doesn't appear, you're nowhere. Okay, so anybody ever get fruit off of a tree, you know? Did it take a while for that fruit to get there? What if you're walking along and you see like a little branch, and on the branch is the tiniest little beautiful beginnings of an apple, okay? It's just tiny. And you say, oh, I wanted to eat an apple. And so what you do is you grab the branch and you just rip it off and you take it home and you put it in your house and you say, I can't wait for the apple to come. It's going to be so tasty. You have to stay in the faith, don't you? You have to remain. You have to continue with the Lord. You have to stay and grow. You don't unplug from the power source once you start the process and say, well, now that I'm a Christian, everything is great, right? I don't have to do this anymore. Well, you're in danger. Luke 9:23, I'm just going to read this to you. Whoever wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And the important word there is what? Daily. Daily, okay? So as long as you have a day called today, you have a mission for that day. And that's to follow after Christ. Not to do it one day and then to say, I've got that dusted. I've got that done. I'm going to move on to something that's more interesting to me. No, no, no. Every day you wake up is another day to what? Keep following Christ. Is this hard to hear? It's hard to hear that actually there's a commitment that is ongoing in your life, that every day, in fact, that you have a mission. Is it hard? Because maybe society tells us you just put this on your list, you get it taken care of, it's like a test that you pass, and then you forget about it. Matthew 13, parable of the soils. Everybody know the parable of the soils? You've got the bad soils. Let's talk about that. First, you have seed that falls on just rough road and it gets eaten. But the other two are very interesting. The other two bad ones, because one springs up in shallow ground and it doesn't get anywhere because it's hot and it doesn't have any roots and it withers. And then the next one, it grows up, but then it gets choked by weeds. And any of you who have done gardening know that the weeds are just constant. They're the constant enemy, okay? They just seem to come out of nowhere. Didn't plant those, but there they are. Those two bad ones don't count. Why? Because their faith didn't last. Their faith didn't last. It was momentary. That's hard to hear, isn't it? What's the one that lasts? The one that is valuable is the one that produced fruit. That's the one that Jesus says, I like it. Now, it turns out that it's the person who really receives the message. Okay, so it's a one-time event, but it has these repercussions that are ongoing for your life. Even in the Old Testament, we have God saying, I want you to continue in faith with me, not just have a one-time moment. And so if you think about the feasts of Israel, have you guys noticed that there's like nine feasts? And we're going to look at all of them, by the way. The feasts of Israel, and what we'll see is that they're all pointing to Jesus. So I'm very excited that we're going to do that during Christmas. We're going to look at all the feasts are about Jesus. But those feasts are designed to do something. They're designed to tell you that every cycle and every season of your life, you belong to God. You're following him. And you don't go and say, well, it's winter time and I'm done worshiping God because you have another feast, you know, or it's spring. Well, you have another feast. And so it keeps you going. Keep walking with the Lord. Let me give you one more illustration. We'll take this illustration into our next section. And the illustration is marriage, the way we look about marriage. And so some people they're like, I just want more than anything to get married. That was me, just so you know. I gotta get married, you know. And then, you know, you find a potential person that is willing to be around you, and you go leaps and bounds to win this person over. You do all sorts of things that you never ever did in your life for somebody, okay? I mean, you're coming up with all sorts of creative things that are not like you at all, you know, like you're just to woo and to win this person, and it's this really fun time. And then a lot of times men get married and they say, well, I've done it. Check that one off. I'm going to go to my next. What else am I interested in? Boats. I think I'm going to do some stuff with boats now. You know, maybe that's interesting. I'll do that next. And, you know, my spouse is in the background. I'm sure she's fine. Right? And actually, the way that we're to see it, you see, we're supposed to be married to God. If you're in Christ, you're connected to the living God. But it's actually the whole growth thing is the marriage begins the relationship, and then you continue, and it just grows and 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 lasts and brings delight. And this is what God wants for us. Keep following me. All right, so let's look at our main section of Scripture. This is Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 6. We're just going to do a little bit. And I'm not going to handle everything in this section, please. Don't think I will. This is a topical sermon, but I will reference much of it. But let's look at verse 6. It says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Basic idea that Paul is going to say in this section is that you don't need something new, Colossians. What you need is what you have, and you need to continue to apply what you already have. What you need is Christ. As this happens with Christians, you know, we come to the Lord, and it's a pretty profound thing that happens when we realize that Jesus is actually God, has actually died, has actually risen again, and we say, yeah, I'm surrendering to that, and our life begins to transform powerfully, but then you roll the clock forward, and we begin to wonder what else we need. Is this going to work? Is this really going to help me turn everything around? Is this really going to fulfill me? Maybe there's something else. In the Colossians, they're in that position, you see. Okay, that's where they're at. And people are coming along and saying, yeah, I mean, here's Jesus, but here's some other stuff too. And so he says, you don't need something new. You need that faith that you had at first. You need that life that you lived when you came to Jesus, that day. Now, it says here, that you live your lives, continue to live your lives in him. And that's kind of a confusing idea. It just seems quite intangible. What does it mean to live your lives in Jesus? It is literally in the Greek, it says, walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. And so, have we all walked somewhere? I mean, I don't know if you guys, Did that entail doing something day after day? Is that how it works? You put one foot forward and then you another foot forward, and it's not walking unless you continue in it, isn't it? And that's what God is wanting for you, and a daily walk with him, a daily walk that is just like that first moment that you became a Christian. That's what you need. Well, what was that first moment like then? What happened when you first came to Christ? Chances are, and if it isn't this way for you, I would love to talk about it. When you came to Jesus, you came desperate, relying on what he did for you. You came as a sinner who needed a savior, and he provided salvation for you, and you were released from that to new life. That's what you're to do every single day. I'm not telling people that they have to read lots of new Christian books or they have to try lots of different techniques. I'm telling you, stay desperate for Christ and receive what he offers. That's what I'm telling you to do here. And that's what God wants you to do. Stay at the cross. You guys have heard me say that before. Stay at the cross. Stay near Jesus. See what he did every single day and respond to it every single day. Never get to the point where you say, you know, I was desperate. I was, like for me, for instance, I was suicidal. But then I found Jesus. But you know, now I've really got it together and I don't even need your grace, God. No. Never get to that point. You need God's grace every single moment. You need his help or you're going to fail today. You'll not live the purpose out that he has for you. And so I would seek him. Walk that way. Walk that way. Look, it's all centered on Jesus. Be rooted in Jesus. That's like you're a tree and he's the beautiful soil through which you are enriched. Or be built up. That's like you're a building and he is the foundation and you're going to make a sky rise. It's just going to go up and up and up. You're going to keep building in this one true foundation. Or you're strengthened. And actually, the idea is that Jesus is your strength. You don't have any strength of your own. Jesus is your strength. Now, these are all passive. Be rooted. Be built up. Be strengthened. It's like God is the one who's going to do this in you. But you're going to be the one who lets him. Well, what does that mean? How do you live out your faith like that? Think about a dentist visit. We've all been to the dentist? Yeah? Yes? Okay. What's required to get your teeth fixed? Well, first you have to go to the right person, okay? Do make sure that they're qualified, yeah? Then you have to go into the room and you have to sit under the big light, which is uncomfortable, by the way. I don't like that thing, okay? And then he's going to tell you to do things like open your mouth this way, open your mouth that way, you know, spit over there, whatever it is that he tells you, whatever he says, you do it. Now, you don't go out of there and you say, I clean my own teeth. I fix my teeth. No, it was his work, but you sure let him. And we have to let God do his work in us. What does that mean? It means we pray. It means we read. It means we listen. It means we obey all that he tells us. I will let you save me. How? I'm open. Do your work in me. Do it every single day. All right, so just to summarize, God isn't calling us to do a one-time act that we don't follow up on. He's not telling us to get saved once and then do nothing, or to get baptized, or to get confirmed and say, now I've done all that I need to do. I can put my spirituality on the shelf because there are other things that are more important to me. He's telling us grow day by day in Christ. Are you? Are you growing day by day in Christ? This challenges me. And I think it probably would challenge you too. It is hard to walk every day with Christ in our eyes. But it's exactly what we need. And now, so here's the punchline. He's going to go on to talk about all these tricks that the church in Colossians, that they're being tempted to leave Christ. But if you're doing this, you never will. This is 90% of the game right here. If you're walking after Christ, you'll never fall for the trick because you're too busy being on orders. You'll be inoculated from the virus of toxic religiosity. It won't even touch you Because you already are doing something and there's no room to do something that will take you in the wrong direction anyway. It's counterproductive to your purpose. Think about David and Bathsheba. Okay, God has chosen this man, David, to be king. He's a man after his own heart, and he falls tremendously into sin, and he ends up committing adultery and then murdering the husband when it's going to be found out. What happened? Well, here's what happened. David had a call on his life, and the call was to shepherd Israel. And during the time when he should have been shepherding Israel, he's like, I'm going to send other people to do that. And that's what he did. He sent other people, and he sat on his little couch in his little house day after day looking for things to do, and he was bored out of his mind. And so eventually he goes upstairs to the roof, and there he looks and he sees there's a naked woman bathing. He flips on the TV, he sees the porn, and he says, well, I've got nothing better to do. I'm not living for God. I think I'll just fall for anything. Be busy with the kingdom work, and there will not be room for you to fall prey to this stuff. Decide that you don't need to walk with Jesus every day, and you are in a dangerous position, and God is calling you back to a daily walk with him. Stand in the faith. Continue growing in Jesus and recognize and reject what isn't of him. So let's talk about, now secondly, rejecting what isn't of Jesus. So I'm going to read you a bunch of stuff in this passage, and then we're going to talk about the toxic trick, the toxic elements here, and we're going to recognize what they are. And each of these can be defined by they're cut off from God. They're not, Jesus has nothing to do with these, okay? And so in verse 8, starting there, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Now, jumping to verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These things are shadow, but the reality is Christ. Then verse 18 there. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they've seen. They're puffed up with idle notions and unspiritual minds. And then verse 20, you died with Christ. Why do you submit? Verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch these rules. Why do you submit to them? Okay, so let me just summarize. There's actually, I've come up with four kind of toxic ideologies, okay? Four areas where we could get astray from following Christ with all of our hearts. Okay, so the first one is obsession with the Old Testament law. Okay, that's the first one, obsession with the Old Covenant. In particular, saying that Old Covenant, it applies to me and it doesn't apply to you. And so there's a first covenant. Everybody knows that this is at the beginning of the Bible. Okay, this is the Torah. It was given by Moses through God's leading. It's not a bad covenant, but it's special rules that are only for a season and only for Israel, in a sense. Okay, it has God's heart behind it. But it's really meant to demonstrate God's holiness to a bunch of people who worship a bunch of gods. Okay, they look at these rules and they show that that God is a different kind of God, and those people who worship him are different kind of people too. And so we have the kosher laws and circumcision and feast days. These are attached to that. And at this point, people have, in Colossians, they have a little church there, and people have come into this church and they said, oh, Jesus is okay, but you better keep Moses' rules too, or you're nowhere. That's what they've done. Yeah, you better keep those rules as well, or you're not a Christian, you're not going to heaven. Okay, so it's important that we understand, nobody is justified by the Old Covenant. No one was ever justified by the covenant that we find in Torah. Why? Because that covenant is predicated on Jesus dying for sins. All of the sacrifices are just a picture of Jesus' sacrifice. They don't take away sins. It's all on Jesus. The way that you will be justified as somebody in the New Testament is by Jesus. The way that you will be justified in the Old Testament is by Jesus, the coming one. No one will be justified because they said, I've done it all. And David, by the way, is the example because he breaks one rule, well, a number of rules, and he cannot be justified by the law. And this is the man after God's own heart. You see? Nobody is justified by that. Now, it's like when people do this, it's like they're trying to, the job is to like hammer nails in, but they're using a saw to do that. That's what going to the law and saying, this will make me a good person and I'll be righteous. That's what it's like. It just can't work. Now, there are a lot of churches that have gone this direction and they've lost their identity in Christ. I knew, we were at one particular building, this church that I was working at, and there was a group of people meeting on Saturday, and they were not Jewish, okay? But they were holding all these rules, and people from that church fell away. Because now they have something that competes with Christ. And eventually, the thing that competes with Christ ends up being the more important thing. It's a toxic trap. Okay, that's the first one. Now, caveat, if you're ethnically Jewish, it's totally fine to do some of these things, to be circumcised, to celebrate some of the events that you wish, but you don't have to. You're justified by Christ. That's such an important thing to know. Okay, man, the second one, man-made traditions, a compulsion towards man-made traditions and philosophies. That's what it says there in verse 8 there. You note the Pharisees, they have created their own traditions. Okay, so we've seen this. Their own ways. And this tradition ended up becoming the Talmud, okay? And that's what defines Judaism today. It's more defined by the Talmud than it is about the Word of God, okay? And so that's, we know that problem. Creating traditions which become us, would become what we believe. But it also says here philosophy. And we're talking about philosophical religion, okay? It's not just philosophy in general. I'm not saying, oh, philosophy is terrible. But what is this? What is this? Well, go to the spiritual section in the bookstore and you'll see it. Just piles of it, piles of it. It's so clever and insightful and intelligent. They have really interesting book titles. And you read them and you think, what an intelligent person. And maybe you take that book and you say, there's really a lot of truth here. And you start underlining words and writing paragraphs and saying, you know, I'm gonna live my life by this. And then somebody says, hey, you know, we're reading the Bible in church. And you say, I can't be bothered with that. It makes no sense to me. What has happened? What has happened is that this philosophy, this very temporary thing, which might have bits of truth in it, but it cannot give you salvation. It cannot change your heart. It cannot do any of the things that need to be done. That's the one that you think is important. What's not important? The actual thing that has the power to change you. Listen, this book has the power. Through Christ who was crucified, this has the power to change you, to move mountains in your heart, and to set you aright. Nothing else can. So don't go for those things. Three, veneration of spiritual forces besides Jesus. Veneration of spiritual forces besides Jesus. If you notice in verse 8, it says that these traditions, they just come from man-made, philosophies come from man-made traditions and spiritual forces, elements of this world. Well, very interesting, very scary. I think we're talking about like something demonic here, right? And then in verse 18, there's this person who is puffed up and conceited, and it says, the worship of angels, through the worship of angels, and all the things that he has seen, this is what he wants to kind of push the Colossians toward. I had an experience, and I worshiped, and then it says worship of angels, but probably what he means by worship of angels there, and this would be in agreement with many commentaries, if you're wondering, is the idea that they're worshiping by angels, meaning they're using angels to do powerful, real worship of the living God. So they're not worshiping the angels, although it's kind of iffy about what's going on there, but they're using the angel to try to get toward closer to God. And so the idea is that approaching the holy God, approaching the one true holy God, that's really scary. Maybe we need an intermediary. Maybe we need a lesser up angel, and we'll go to the angel. We'll pray to the angel, and the angel will intermediate between us and God. And so this is the desire for something spiritual outside of Jesus. Everybody knows in Hebrews 7:24, it says there is one mediator, the man Jesus Christ. There is just one mediator between God and man, and don't you go to anything else. Now, in the Bible, it kind of implies that we have guardian angels. That's nice, but we're never ever to talk to them. We're never ever to pray to them. They'll just do their business. They're there. We'll find out later about them. They're there serving the living one who lives forever, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is He that we speak to. It is He that we worship. We don't go to anybody else. We don't go to any other spiritual thing. I don't know how many people have gone and they've sought. They want to know more than what God has given them about the future. They're bothered. And so what do? They go to a medium. And then it becomes Jesus saves me, but actually I also get the medium's insight. It's toxic. It takes us away from Christ. One more. Rote religious activity. Rote religious activity. And this is just kind of the do something because it's the right thing to do. Do a tradition because that's what we do. We do lots and lots of traditions and we look good doing our traditions. And, you know, just doing the tradition will do you good. Okay, just praying, just blabbing mindless words out. Doing these things, meditating where you think of nothing, that'll just make you better. Don't worry. Don't worry about the process. Don't think about it. Just don't worry. Don't think about anything. And that'll, just by doing those rote things, you'll become religiously better off. Okay, that's in this section as well. With the mindless, don't do this, do this, do go to this thing, go to that thing. Just do these events. And so the person who is stuck in this, by the way, and I often ask people who come from various religious backgrounds, they say, oh, we're doing this. And I say, oh, why are you doing that? You know, why are you doing this religious thing? And they go, you know, I don't even have an idea why. I have no idea why I do that. I've always done that, and I'm a better person because I do that. I mean, they don't say that part, but that's the idea. I just showed up to that event. I just said those words. I just cranked out a verse without thinking about anything of what it means. That's not going to make you more holy, but it will take you away from the Lord. Because those things, you might feel like they're actually possibly working. In Kabbalah, they tell you to, they give you a bunch of Hebrew words. And they just want you to say the Hebrew words out. And they say, just saying the words will bring you blessing. Bring you what you want. You know, just do these little things. And magically, the blessings will come. Just see the energies coming to you and you'll get all the things you delight in. That stuff, then it says, I have God's salvation, but I also have how I get what I want. And it becomes competing with Christ. It's the last toxic thing that's in this section. So four things there, okay? Stay in the faith, continue growing in Jesus, and recognize and reject what isn't of Him. All of those things are separate from Christ. All of them appear to get you further, and they all go nowhere. Okay, so let's talk about what we do in conclusion. And I have two ideas for you, okay? The first is, what in that list of toxic tactics are you actually a bit susceptible to? Think about which one of those you went, oh, maybe actually I got a problem there, okay? Maybe that one, maybe that I'm partial to that one. Maybe that's what I've been thinking. Maybe I've been telling myself this is what is going to get me to change. This is what is going to get me what I want. Is it an obsession with the law? Is it tradition and philosophies? Is it a veneration of something spiritual that is outside of Jesus? Or is it this mindless religious stuff? I just do this and this and this and this, and I'm a better person for it. Well, no, you're not. You need Christ. So that's the first part. What is out there? But then the second is that really the most important thing is that you continue to walk day by day with Christ. That is crucial. Walk after Jesus, and this stuff will not seem appealing at all. You won't even have time for it. And so, you know, I'm asking you, are you daily walking after the Lord? Are you daily desperate for Him? You know, are you daily turning to the cross? Are you daily reading His word and saying, please help me, I'm listening, please come, be powerful? Part of the work of God is when we come to Him and say, I need your help today. And if we do not do those things, he also does not help us. We will walk after Christ day by day. I had a former good friend. I was a good friend of his about 5 years ago, and for many, many, many years. And this week, he has died unexpectedly. And he did not die in good fellowship with the Lord. He was a believer, but he wasn't in the right place when the end of his life came. And I don't want us, having chartered a course towards love and grace and the goodness of God, on the way to, on that journey, we decide to take a pit stop at a welcome break, and we say, maybe this is as far as I go. Time rolls on, and we die, and we go before the Lord, and we're not following him at that point. We stopped walking day by day, and it is a very real possibility. It is a very real possibility that something will distract you. But I say to you, walk with